With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Tuesday, 10:05-ish. It is time for Tuesday's Tool, Tony.
Oh, yeah, with one of our favorites. What do you got for me today?
What do I love when it comes to searching for tools?
Bridezilla.
And I've got a bridezilla that takes the cake.
All right. Let's hear about it.
Takes the cake.
I see what you did there. Take the winning.
Okay, this bridezilla, like any bride,
yeah,
even without the zilla, they will send out wedding invitations.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, her sister got one and noticed it did not include her husband.
Yeah. What?
So she asked her bride-to-be sister about the invite. She said he was welcome to come, but requested that he not be in any family photos.
What?
So I thought, maybe there's some history here. I just don't understand. Turns out she doesn't want him stealing the spotlight in wedding pictures because he's, quote, different. How is he different, you ask?
How is he different?
Why, he's disabled and in a wheelchair.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
The bridezilla justifies this by saying that when people see their family photos, they always ask about the man in the wheelchair because he stands out. And she wants to be the main focus in her wedding pics. It gets better.
Oh, my God.
After hearing all of this, her sister was livid and went off on the bride, as you would expect.
You think?
Yelling and calling her selfish. She informed the bride they would not be coming to the wedding.
No.
But instead of getting support from her family, she was asked to apologize for upsetting the bride.
Oh, my God.
The husband is even okay with not being in the pictures. But she's angry at her sister, parents, and other relatives for taking the bride's side. She says, this is an issue I need to fight for.
Oh, my God. We've done this to our American women. This is not their fault. We have promised them some stupid princess day that will be perfect, and it makes them the worst people on planet Earth.
By the way, Chicky, you and your friends are never going to sit and look at your wedding photos, ever.
Ever.
And if you do, what are people going to say? Where's Rick? Where's Rick?
Yeah.
And then you've got to explain.
Well, I didn't want
why
a guy in
Rick...
a wheelchair. I didn't want a guy in a wheelchair in my picture.
Don't you get it?
God.
I mean, like, everyone's going to be looking at him and his wheelchair because he's different and not looking at me.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we know women like that. Hey! All right, it's Governor's Cup week, so we're going to bring in our two Nicks. We got Nick Coffey today.
Two Nicks?
Tomorrow we got Nick Roush.
Oh.
He's going to be smarmy and all that. And we'll talk to him. He has become what Matt used to be to U of L fans. Like, he gets under the skin of U of L fan. Would you agree with that, Nick Coffey?
I would agree. And I thought for a second that just maybe you had not given me a heads up to have to deal with Nick Roush on no notice.
I wouldn't
need
do
notice.
That to you.
I
wouldn't
need
do
notice
that to you.
If I'm going to have to deal with him.
I wouldn't do that to you. All right. So, number one storyline so far in the last couple of days, Nick, has been the surprise of Kentucky fan finding out that Louisville's an actual 2-point favorite and that their strength of schedule for Louisville was stronger than UK's. Agree or disagree that that's been the talk line?
Oh, absolutely. I think because Kentucky does play in a better league, that it just the thought of Louisville having a stronger schedule just seems impossible. Like, they can't wrap their mind around it. They think it's literally fake news. And you could take away Georgia from Kentucky's schedule and take away Ole Miss from Louisville's schedule, and Louisville would still have a tougher schedule. It's more so about how bad the out-of-conference teams Kentucky played was.
Yeah, they were bad.
And the SEC East is just really down. And the team you played from the other division, the West, LSU, they're 5-6. They fired their head coach. So I've been very transparent the last couple of weeks. I've watched Kentucky enough to – I've watched them enough to where I feel content in saying I think they're good. Now, are they really good? I don't know. I don't know if we're going to be able to figure that out even on Saturday just because of the way the schedule sets up. So I don't bring up their strength of schedule as a reason to say that they're a fraud or anything like that. But the reality is – they're 8-3 and unranked, and they're in the SEC. That should tell you a lot. And the odds makers here obviously look at Louisville, and I think you know, fans look at the record and the scoreboard, which is what they should look at, but odds makers look at everything. And Louisville has been a pretty good team this year, and they've been in a lot of close games against other good teams, not great teams. I mean, Louisville's, and honestly, the schedule conversation, what I find funny is that I don't think anybody's claiming Louisville's played some really, really tough schedule. They haven't. It's just that Kentucky schedule is surprisingly really
terrible.
Bad. It's really out of their control. I think you play the New Mexico States and the Louisiana Monroes because you are going to play a loaded conference schedule every year, but that just didn't happen this year.
So, Nick, what changed? Because after 2019, Kentucky had a quarterback that was not going to throw the ball, but still ran for about 1,000 yards. And then earlier in the season, after week 4 or 5, this line might have been 21 points in Kentucky's favor. What changed?
I think just more looking at what Kentucky did earlier this year just clearly didn't mean as much as you thought it did. I mean, Florida's not very good. LSU's not very good. Kentucky's best. So what Kentucky's accomplished is up to this point, I know it sounds like I'm taking credit from them. They're 8-3. I think on paper they are a better team. I wouldn't be shocked at all if they come in and win this thing on Saturday. But I think for Kentucky, you look at their body of work 11 games in, and it's just not as impressive as it was after the first month of the season. And as for Louisville, they're trending in the right direction. I know they played Duke, who was terrible the other night. And, of course, Syracuse is not a great team either. But teams that Louisville should have beaten, and I know it's woulda, coulda, shoulda. You got to look in the mirror. You didn't get it done. Those teams have actually ended up being pretty good. Clemson's going to finish the season ranked. Clemson, the downfall of Clemson was exaggerated. They're not what they normally are, but they're likely going to finish with a 9-3 record. Wake Forest is still a good team. Hell, Central Florida, they got a chance to go 8-4 if they win this weekend. So I think more than anything, it's just hard to know just how good Kentucky actually is, despite being 8-3. I think that's why Louisville is the favorite, and I think there's some areas where Louisville could really take advantage of this matchup, which is not something I would have said a month ago.
All right, let's go. Most of the time, this game used to be decided by the first team that had a player get to 100 yards rushing. That team won.
Forgot about that stat.
Remember that stat?
Yeah, yeah.
That was the key. That
like
was
15,
the stat.
16 straight years.
It was
yeah.
Unbelievable. Whoever got to 100 yards fast or quickest got the win. That's been thrown out. I don't even know if you can do that anymore. So let's look at the quarterbacks, because usually whoever's got the better quarterback usually wins any football game, really. So I would think that in the first 6 games, everyone would have picked Will Levis as the quarterback rather than Cunningham. But now, even the most staunch UK players would say, or UK fans would say, it's a push. And I bet you a lot of people right now, who's got the better quarterback in this game?
Oh, I think Louisville has the more dynamic quarterback that could eventually give the opponent more problems. That said, Will Levis is good. He can make plays. I think what Louisville's got to do is learn from what they did earlier this year. They let good to average quarterbacks get way too comfortable in the pocket, and they turned into elite guys against you. And you think they would have learned their lesson by now. I know they're not playing great quarterbacks in recent weeks. You know, they went up against Matt Corral to start the season. The kid at Wake Forest is a really good quarterback, Brennan Armstrong at Virginia, and they just let those guys get comfortable. You let a bad quarterback sit back there long enough, they'll eventually make plays. You can't let Will Levis do that. He's good. But I think Malik Cunningham is just, he's more dynamic. He can hurt you in a variety of ways. Now, Levis can tuck and run a little bit too. It's different, of course. He doesn't have the speed. He's more of a guy that can kind of run you over. But I would give Louisville the edge just based specifically on what Malik can do it in a variety of ways and just how well he's played as of late. Levis, a good quarterback, better than they've had in a long time, but he's more turnover prone, which fortunately for Louisville, Malik Cunningham has kind of gotten rid of that. Last year was a big problem for him. This year, not so much.
All right, Nick.
Wait a minute, hang on.
What?
So did you pick?
Louisville. So
okay,
Louisville.
Yeah, okay. All right.
All right, Nick, both teams are bowl eligible. Neither team has to win the game. They'll both be in the postseason. However, is there bowl prestige on the line for either team? Like if Louisville wins, they'll be here instead of here.
Oh, yeah.
If Kentucky wins, they'll be here instead
good
of here.
Question.
Not really. I think for Kentucky, they've got a good – if they win or lose, I think they've got a good chance of getting in the Outback Bowl, if it's still called that. For Louisville, maybe, but Louisville's looking at maybe like the Armed Forces Bowl with a loss, maybe the bowl game that gets played up in Wrigley, or not Wrigley, but in Yankee Stadium if they win. So really, and that's what makes it great. It's just about bragging rights. You're going to go to similar bowls regardless of what happens. When Kentucky lost to Tennessee, that changed their aspirations to potentially get a New Year's Six Bowl. So there may be a slight difference, but as far as the types of bowls they'll go to, I think it's all same tier.
Let's go to some other units for UK U of L head to head. So you picked the quarterback at U of L, Cunningham, over Levis, the quarterback at UK, even though they're not far off. You give the nod to Cunningham. Offensive lines. I think that at the beginning of the year, you would clearly have said Kentucky's big blue wall would be better than Louisville's big red wall. So where are we at now? Are we almost a push there?
I think it's close to a push. I would still give the advantage to Kentucky because that they've had essentially the same guys, and they've been good for Kentucky for like 3 years now. The last two times that these teams played, some of these guys that are on the line for Kentucky were there then. Louisville's offensive line has gotten so much better in recent weeks. It has become a huge strength of this team, but I'm not ready to claim that they have the edge at that matchup.
Okay.
Because honestly, that's a big part of Kentucky's identity. I think what you're seeing now is that they've been able to beat teams by ground and pound, but now they've got a quarterback who's pretty good, a really good receiver in Wandale Robinson, probably one of the better skill position players in the SEC. And I think you're seeing just how much this offense for Kentucky can score when they do have not to say competent skill, but that's been the issue for Kentucky, and it's a credit to Mark Stoops. They've been able to make substantial improvements during his tenure, and he really hasn't done it with a quarterback we're speaking of. Steven Johnson had his moments. Terry Wilson, I know, won games, but they didn't win games in 2018 because Terry Wilson was the quarterback. They did it because they had Josh Allen, Benny Snell, and just a great defense. So now that they have a quarterback, it's a difference maker, and when you give that guy time like they do with this offensive line, and I still have to give them the edge there. Although I've been really impressed with
close, Global's. But the edge go to Kentucky.
Yeah, edge goes to Kentucky.
All right, Nick, the basketball team, they lost to Fordham. They really struggled with
Furman.
Furman, Fordham,
who cares? Yeah.
Furman, Fordham, tomato,
way,
tomato.
And by the way, Furman is 1-2 since beating Louisville.
And they almost lost to Detroit Mercy. Not the University of Detroit where Dick Vitale coached.
Lord have
Detroit
mercy.
So is this just a matter of Chris Mack not being there? He's that important, or are they not that good?
Ah, man. Louisville was so fortunate to beat Detroit, as you mentioned, Detroit Mercy, I should say. And I thought to myself, this team needs their head coach in a major way. And I hope that that's the big reason why we're seeing what we're seeing, but it just looks like a team who's not really all there. I mean, I guess I can appreciate the honesty, but Mike Vegese and Malik Williams talked to the media earlier this week and essentially confirmed, yeah, we're just not playing hard enough. Well, shouldn't you be able to fix that? And I do think that not having Chris Mack is a huge factor for this team. What I worry about is, can you just simply flip the switch when he returns? I mean, I think certain players miss him more than anything else. I think Jalen Withers has just not been himself without Chris Mack there getting on him. They have a pretty unique relationship in that regard. And, long story short, Chris Mack, his absence is a big factor. But I also would be a liar if I said I'm not concerned about just how good this team can be, because they've been very underwhelming thus far, and I don't know what they have to work with. They're playing 10, 11 guys, yanking them in and out. It's hard to – nobody's been able to really establish much of a rhythm. So they're going down to the Bahamas with a chance to get two quality wins, but if they play the way they played the Yum Center, they'll leave with some beatdowns. I mean, Mississippi State's a good team.
Yeah.
Richmond or Maryland, whoever you play, good team. So I'm not too optimistic, however – there is a notion that you get out on the road, you get away from home, you know maybe play to the level of your competition. I don't know, but I don't feel great about this matchup, especially one Thursday night against Mississippi State.
What are the rules for Chris Mack right now? Can he even contact assistant coach or any of the players?
No, and he's had zero contact with anybody.
So he's on an island by himself.
Isolated, yes.
Oh my
Just
God.
Not the Bahamas.
His wife and kids and family are still going to games, and they're coming. I mean,
Hang on, time out.
He's able to
take
watch.
$3 out.
Thank you.
Go ahead. He said, just not the Bahamas. He's on an island by himself.
Oh, okay.
Dave said the
He's not allowed
Bahamas.
To go there and hang out on the
That's
beach,
true.
Is he?
But think about it. He's at home watching the games by himself and can't contact any of the people that he brought to this program and is coaching.
Yep. So when he comes back from suspension, he will, of course, be asked about how was your time, and he'll be careful, but he will also make it quite clear how miserable he's been. I mean, it's think about this. Not only is this a team with eight newcomers and a new coaching staff, and this month of the season is important because you're putting it all together, but he's also never in his adult life been away from basketball in the month of November. I mean, this is all he does. He's a basketball coach. So he's driving himself crazy. If I was him, I would have gotten out of town and just, you know,
no doubt,
been in isolation by myself away from Louisville, because he'll be okay. He's a big boy. He'll come back and try to get this season salvaged and whatnot. But yeah.
I've always said that the worst part of the suspension, I thought, was going to be every single game with the graphics up and he's suspended because of this and this. And then going over that over and over and over again during the broadcast. But I was wrong. It's him not being the bench coach because Louisville sucks right now.
Well, and we've also been fortunate that they haven't played anybody worth talking about just yet, because if these games were on ESPN and a real TV slot, yes, then that would be what they mention over and over. I think CBS Sports Network is what has the game Thursday.
Yeah.
That'll be their talking point. They're going to mention every time they come back from commercial break, Louisville without their head coach. And
yes,
it's just
because he was suspended for blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's not using a student manager to videotape the Bahamas trip. Just saying.
Yeah. I mean, the suspension itself, I think, seems like something that the school was trying to say, hey, we just want to make it clear we can't have any kind of stain on the program anymore, so we're going to suspend you 6 games. Suspending him 6 games is another stain
against the program.
It's the biggest PR hit of the entire Dino Gaudio situation.
Yes. Meanwhile. Real quick, what are you and Mercedes and the two kids going to do for Thanksgiving?
All right, we're going to start it off at Churchill Downs.
Oh,
then go to
yeah.
my mom's for a nice Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, yeah.
Then we've got Louisville and Mississippi State
later
that night.
How drunk will Rick Coffee be?
I can't. I've got to do the game. I'm doing halftime.
Oh!
And Learfield's already warned me, don't be Rick. We need Nick in action. So
already?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. I want to give you one quick stat about the Louisville-Kentucky football game.
Go.
If South Carolina doesn't beat Clemson on Saturday, and Missouri doesn't beat Arkansas on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
Kentucky football in the last 3 seasons will have finished those 3 seasons with no teams that they've beaten that have a winning record other than Louisville.
Oh, my God.
Or the ACC, who they've beaten in bowl teams. So I bring that up to say Kentucky fans need to calm down about bashing Louisville and bashing the ACC, because, again, the only teams you've beaten with a winning record in 3 seasons, unless those two things happen, are Louisville and an ACC team.
Thank you.
Nick Coffey.
Not yet Rick Coffey.
We have family in for the holidays, Tony, and we did a lot of lots of pasta stocking up. We have a pound of the juicy chicken breast, got some Italian bread with the little sesame seeds on it, plenty of cheese, and one of our family members is gluten-free, so we have those little rice crackers, which are actually really good. They're like cardboard everywhere else, but at Lots of Pasta, they are delicious. So load up for the people coming in for the weekend, because it's not just about the turkey.
I ran into the family the last time I was there, and I was like, ooh, I need something like this. And they walked me around and just kind of filled my basket up with stuff that they like the best. And if you ask for advice, they certainly will give it to you on what their best products are. And they do travel the world to find the world's best, cleanest, and best food products and bring them to Louisville. How have they been able to survive and really flourish in the world of the Whole Foods and the Kroger's and Trader Joe's? How could they survive? Well, they survive because they're better. Lots of pasta, lotsofpastalouisville.com.
And for the holidays, you can do a gift basket for a host gift or a gift card.
They do it all the time.
They will love you.
Lotsofpastalouisville.com. Back after this, News Radio 840 WHAS.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
WHAS.
Now dig it, baby.
You dig it.
All right. We want to have a good meal on Thanksgiving, correct?
Yeah.
We're going to watch football.
Yes.
We're going to watch basketball.
Except the Lions and Bears.
And we're going to, right. And we're going to cook some meals. Now, a lot of times, the only time somebody's kitchen has everything going at one time, right?
Right, right.
It's Thanksgiving and Christmas, because you don't have the microwave, the oven, the toaster. You have a heater and a crock pot plugged in. So it's the only time everything's running at one time.
Some people, including my mom, have multiple ovens.
Oh, right.
For huge meals, one in the garage, also fired up.
Right. So it's the only time you're using all of them at the same time. It might cause an electrical issue and hopefully not a fire.
Especially if you did the electrical work.
The second part is the fryers. right? If you don't know what you're doing and you put too much oil in it and then you dump a 15-pound turkey inside the oil, it'll spill over to your deck.
Or if it's frozen.
And then that could be a fire. Right. Let's add in, I've already got not one, but two Christmas trees already put up. So that leads me to my friend, Bobby Cooper, Louisville Fire Department. How are you, sir?
Good, Tony. Thank you for having us on. It's a busy time of year for us.
It really is. How many runs will you guys have in the next couple of days?
You know, we average about 110 runs a day on average throughout the year. And on, you know, the holidays, Thanksgiving Day is about 2.5 times that amount.
Wow. Okay.
So what sorts of runs are you making? I know as we get closer to Christmas, it can be space heater runs. But what around Thanksgiving are people doing that's kind of really stupid?
Yeah. So Thanksgiving specifically, Dave, is like cooking fires. So kitchen fires is what we see the overwhelming majority of our runs become. And it could be food left on a stove or an oven. Sometimes it's candle, but a lot of times it's just smoked up kitchens. Unfortunately, sometimes it is an actual fire that you know, has spread throughout the kitchen and sometimes even the entire home. So what we encourage people to do is remember not to leave your food alone, to monitor your food. The number one reason for residential structure fires throughout the year is cooking fires. That's the same on Thanksgiving. And the reason those fires ignite is because people are leaving their food unattended. They're walking out of the room, they're going away, and they're letting those fires get out of control.
Grease fires are always a good topic at this time of year. If you get a little spillage from the grease inside the home, obviously we have two, not one, but two fire extinguishers, the smaller ones, in the kitchen to be able to use on a fire, not to get out of control. But baking soda and the worst thing to put on a grease fire is?
Water. So water. Do not throw water on that grease fire, because that will just make it spread. And I love it, Tony, that you've got two extinguishers. That makes me happy. You can buy them just about anywhere now.
Right.
Any Home Depot, Lowe's, Target, even Kroger sells them. They're pretty small. They're discreet. You can put them away. They can make a mess, but they're easy to operate, and it beats the alternative. But
yes.
Yes. But those grease fires and just about any fire you see, there's three things that fire needs. It needs the heat, first off, and it needs oxygen or air and a fuel. So if you're cooking in an oven and the fire breaks out, stay calm. Don't freak out. Just keep that oven closed and turn off the heat. If you open up the oven, you're going to introduce air to it to where it can spread. And if you turn off that heat, you're going to take the heat away.
Good tip.
You can still call 911. You can still ask us to respond to check
things
out. Don't
open the door. Turn it off. Right.
Yep.
Don't open the door.
Now, Bobby, my logical brain says, no, wait a minute. They have these huge fire trucks that plug into these fire hydrants. And they use water to put out fires. You're saying when it comes to grease,
no,
water does not put out that fire.
It spreads it.
Right. You don't have the amount of water that we have. Like you just said, we're hooking into a hydrant. We have thousands and thousands of gallons of water. So, of course, if a fire gets out of control, if it spreads beyond a room of origin, we're going to need that capacity of water. For just a small grease fire, you throwing that small glass of water or whatever it is just going to make it basically explode and spread to nearby combustibles, whether it's a curtain or paper towels or the walls. So do not use that. It's the same thing for like a pot or a pan. Don't freak out if a little fire does break out. Simply turn off that burner and put a lid on top of that pot or that pan.
Yes.
And that should extinguish it pretty quickly.
What about, I always have several kitchen towels. If it's small enough, can I just unfold the towel and kind of throw it on there? Is that an alternative or
We'd
not?
We'd rather you not, because, again, a towel is, you know, cotton or it's a cloth. It's a combustible, so actually use a lid, like a steel lid or
okay.
whatever it might be to
steel
put
lid.
On top of it.
Okay.
Now, a critical thing to consider is just be prepared. You know, like have a working smoke detector. We know things are busy. We're all getting back together. Last year, unfortunately, a lot of us had to have it with just our immediate families. We got kids running around. We got our sisters and our brother-in-laws coming over with their kids, our nieces and nephews. So also, remember things like keeping the kids out of the kitchen. A kid could easily bump into a hot pot or pan with a hot liquid fall on top of them. A lot of times you got crock pots that are going in the kitchen. There may be a cord plugged in. A kid runs through, trips over that cord, and can knock over that crock pot.
Yep.
So remember those things that we used to do right
yep.
before COVID that sometimes got on our nerves, but it's what makes the holidays special. having those kids around and having extra family around, remember those precautions that you took before, and just keeping those things in mind.
Give us some do's and don'ts when it comes to deep frying turkeys.
Yeah, so do be prepared for research. If you've never fried a turkey before, simply Google it. If you have the capacity to get a turkey fryer, you probably have a phone that you could Google how to fry a turkey. So do some simple safe precautions. Do that research. Put it on flat ground away from the house. Don't do it inside your house. Don't do it on a wooden deck. Do a test run. And by test run, you can go out there. You fill the fryer with water first, and then you put the turkey in to see how high that water, that liquid comes. And then you can mark the fryer to where that's, you know, then you take the turkey out and you mark the fryer where the water is for when it's time to cook the turkey and put the oil in. Again, putting it on a non-combustible surface, so like a driveway, concrete, or asphalt, where it's flat and it's level. You're going to have a propane tank hooked up to it, making sure that you can keep that propane tank, you know, far away so you've got enough hose on that propane tank to the fryer to where the propane tank's not right next to it, so that you're not going to trip over the hose. Keep in mind things like personal protective equipment. So it gets really hot. Your hands are probably going to want to have gloves on because it can get hot, and you don't want to drop the turkey in to the grease. That's then going to make the grease splash up and come over and possibly ignite. So keeping PPE, personal protective equipment like gloves, even glasses, like safety glasses, to keep it from splashing up on you, and an apron of some sort. But again, the critical part is there's so many websites out there and so many YouTube videos where you can just Google how to safely cook a turkey.
Yep.
And it'll take you through step
by
step.
Be prepared.
And it has to be thawed, correct?
It does have to be thawed. Absolutely, yes.
Don't put a frozen turkey in hot oil.
Again, because it's liquid, right? It's water that's hitting that grease, and we don't want those to combine because it has a negative outcome. So making sure that it's thawed and that it's dried. So you pan it dry. Also, you know, you need to be somewhat of a chef and know how to prepare the turkey to take out the insides. There's certain ways that you can slice the turkey so that when you bring it up out of the grease is going to drain from the turkey. So just be prepared, and you should be safe.
The one thing that the Navy and the fire department I hear have in common is that the food is better at the fire department than it is at the police department, and that the Navy always has better gourmet food than the Army or the Air Force. So Saturday night, you guys will be on duty, obviously, in all your firehouses. The Governor's Cup will be that night. Obviously, most of Louisville Fire Department is made up of folks around this area. So will there be good food happening in the next couple of days at our firehouses?
Without a doubt. There's always good food. That's one of the requirements of the firefighters. You have to be able to cook at least one or two meals to have in the rotation.
Awesome.
We're a family. I talked about this earlier with somebody, but, you know, a third of our life is spent at the firehouse. They're 24-hour shifts. We work, you know, it's 24-7. We're always there. So it's the truth when we say it's like our other family. Is we work together. We bunk together, you know, overnight. We cook together. We argue. We fight. We really are like another family, and so with that comes great meals. And any time of the year, especially Thanksgiving and around big games like on Saturday, there'll be lots of good food. Speaking of that, though, Tony, one thing that I do need to say, while we're talking about all the stuff that we do, we also need to make sure that we're thanking our families, our spouses and our kids, because they make a tremendous sacrifice as well with our firefighters being away for holidays and big games like that. We just want to make sure that we're recognizing them too.
One more question. This has always bugged me.
Yeah.
So years ago, before I met my wife, I had a condo, second floor balcony. I used to love to grill there with charcoal, one of those little Weber grills. And then the law was changed so you couldn't grill anymore on balconies. Well, I get the logic of that. I could never find any statistics to back up the necessity of that. Was that a problem?
You know, it was a problem, and what you've got to think about is not you. I'm sure you're an incredibly responsible person and took all the necessary precautions, but all your neighbors in that condo unit or an apartment unit, is you got to think what they're doing. And in a unit like that, you want to make sure that you have, you know, interconnected smoke alarms to where if a fire ignites in one apartment, you're being notified to get out in sprinkler systems. And so, unfortunately, that's not the case in all of the apartment units. So I believe that what they did is they created that ordinance for everybody else's safety. But I couldn't give you any specific statistics on it.
We're talking to Bobby Cooper of the Louisville Fire Department. We made some great suggestions here. In the middle of that, you go to Target, Walmart, any place that can you can buy a cheap, inexpensive fire extinguisher. They come in compact. They're not these huge ones you see on the wall in buildings. You can get smaller ones for your kitchen. We have, like I told Bobby, two of them, and they're easy to use. You pop it. Trust me, some people are hesitant to use those because they're the mess. Well, guess what? It's cheaper to clean that up than the remodel of a fire in your kitchen. So,
And you're spot on there, buddy. Tony, and you just hit it, because life safety is one thing, but it's also property damage. And we see nearly $26 million in property damage every year on Thanksgiving nationally. But what people don't realize is it's not just the big inferno, fully engulfed building that's on fire, but just smoke damage. It's really costly.
Yep.
It costs you a lot of money. So have that extinguisher, have those detectors there so you're notified early of a fire.
Right.
And be prepared.
Yeah, my wife hates our kitchen. She wants a new kitchen, so I got to keep an eye on her on Thanksgiving so she doesn't burn it down on purpose. All right, Bobby, it's good to see you, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
Tony, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Bobby. Bobby's a great dude, man. Louisville Fire Department, some tips there for the next couple of days, and the food is always good. At the fire.
And another tip, don't have Tony Vannetti do your wiring.
No, you want to have Allen Electrical do it, because that's the safest way to do it, right? You wouldn't call the police department to have come out and put a fire out in your house, and you wouldn't do the other one if you have a burglar. So why are you calling someone else to do your electrical work at your house? The roofer doesn't know what the hell he's talking about when he's talking about electrical work. You know who does? Allen Electrical. They're all master electricians. They're all certainly licensed. If you've hired someone and they're about to show up at your house today, ask them on your front porch, can I see your electrical license, please? If they don't have one, send them packing. Allen Electrical, 636 HELP is the phone number. They were just voted by Courier Journal as the number one electrician in Louisville. 636 HELP is the phone number. They won't leave you in the dark. Back after this, News Radio 840 WHS. That's what I'm talking about.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.